Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Interesting. What's that text number? Because I prepared for another verse. Oh, I see. This is 27 that has no purport. Whoever's controlling this, can we chant the one that has a purport? Yay. Okay. So text number 29. That's 27 with no purport. 28 with no purport. We'll chant the verse that has a purport, then we'll go back. Huh? Say it again? Yeah. Yeah. So 29. 29 and 30 are combined. I'm just stalling for time while they put up 29. Can somebody put up whoever does this? There we go. Okay. Yad vishruti shruti nute dhammalam punati. Padavane jana payascha vachascha shastram. Mukhala bharjita bhagapi yad angri padma. Sparshota shaktir ava abhivarshati no kilarthan. Again. Yad vishruti shruti shnudeda malam punati. Padavane jana payascha vachascha shastram. Vokala bharjita bhagapi yad angri padma. Sparshota shaktir abhir varshati no kilartan. Yad vishruti shruti nutedam alam punati. Padavane jana payascha vachascha shastram. Bhukala bharjita bhagapi yad angri padma. Sparshota shaktir abhivarshati no kilarthan. Yad vishruti shruti nutedam alam punati. Ladies? Now, what do we do about the kids? Do we have a call on the boys? Girls first? Okay. On the count of three. One, two, three. Awesome. Almost like want to do it again. Okay. Yat. Whose? The Shruti. Fame. Shruti. By the Vedas. Nuta. Vibrated. Idam. This universe. Alam. Thoroughly. Punati. Purifies. Pada. Whose feet. Avanejana. Washing. Hayaha. The water. Cha. And. Vachaha. Words. Cha. And. Shastram, the revealed scriptures. Bho, the earth. Kala, by time. Bharjita, ravaged. Bhaga, whose good fortune. Api, even. Yet, whose. Angri, of the feet. Padma, lotus-like, sparsha, by the touch, utta, wakened, shaktihi, whose energy, abhivarshati, abundant rains, naha, upon us. Akila, all. Artan, objects of desire. So what I'm going to do is go back to 27 and 28, and then we'll read 29 and 30, then the purport. Starting with text 27. After Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna had liberally honored them is yesterday's verse, a long list of residents of Hastinapur and other great kings. After Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna had liberally honored them with great joy and enthusiasm, these kings began to praise the members of the Vrishni clan, Sri Krishna's personal associates. Text 28, the kings said, "Oh, king of the Bhojas, you alone among men have achieved a truly exalted birth, for you continually behold Lord Krishna, who is rarely visible even to great yogis." And then 29 and 30. His fame as broadcast by the Vedas, the water that has washed his feet, and the words he speaks in the form of the revealed scriptures, these thoroughly purify this universe. Although the earth's good fortune was ravaged by time, the touch of his lotus feet has revitalized her, and thus she is raining down on us the fulfillment of all our desires. The same Lord Vishnu, who makes one forget the goals of heaven and liberation, has now entered into marital and blood relationships with you, who otherwise traveled on the hellish path of family life. Sorry, folks. Indeed, in these relationships, you see and touch him directly, walk beside him, converse with him, and together with him lie down to rest, sit at ease, and take your meals. Purport. All Vedic mantras glorify Lord Vishnu. Semicolon. This truth is supported with elaborate evidence by learned acharyas like Ramanuja in his Vedarta Sangraha and Madhva in his Rigveda Bhashya. The words Vishnu himself speaks, such as Bhagavad Gita, are the confidential essence of all scripture. In his manifestation as Vyasadeva, the Supreme Lord composed both the Vedanta Sutras and Mahabharata, and this Mahabharata includes Sri Krishna's personal statement, Vedayishcha sarvair aham eva eva vedyo Vedanta krid vedavid eva chaham. Translation: by all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Paragraph. When Lord Vishnu appeared before Bali Maharaj to beg three steps of land, the Lord's second step pierced the shells of the universe. The water of the transcendental river Viraja, lying just outside the universal egg, thus seeped inside, washing Lord Vamana's foot and flowing down to become the Ganges River. Because of the sanctity of its origin, the Ganges is generally considered the most holy of rivers. But even more potent is the river, the water of the Jamuna, where Lord Vishnu, in his original form of Govinda, played with his intimate companions. And third paragraph. In these two verses, the assembled kings praise the special merit of Lord Krishna's Yadu clan. Not only do they see Krishna, but they are also directly connected with him by dual bonds of marital and blood relationships. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti suggests that the word bandha, besides its more obvious meaning of relation, one can also be understood in the sense of capture, expressing that the love the Yadus feel for the Lord obliges him always to stay with them. As I was reading this, I was thinking, this sounds like Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Then I was thinking, wait a minute, Brihad Bhagavatamrita sounds like Bhagavatam. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, in the first part, there's this, it's a quest, very famous in literature, is a category called quest literature. Oh, someone searching for something, some ideal. And in the first part, it's Narada searching for who is the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So without retelling the whole of Brihat Bhagavatamrita Part 1, there's a section where Narada has heard about the glories of the Pandavas. And hearing this and that and the other glory, he goes to see the Pandavas, all enthusiastic, thinking, they're the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. And when he arrives there, they're having a Pandava assembly where they're making a plan, what's our next calamity? Because they know, as Queen Kunti's prayers say, when the devotees have a difficulty, do any of you ever have a difficulty? We generally keep them confidential, but sometimes we share them with other people. We have calamities. And the Pandavas understand, that's good. Most of us don't think, oh, that's bad. A calamity? Bad. But what's good is Krishna is very kind. And when he sees his devotees have a difficulty, what does Krishna do? He comes. Now, there's degrees of difficulties. There's also degrees of devotion. You know, like the residents in Vrindavan. You students, you read Krishna book. You probably know all the stories better than I do. Krishna book stories. And story after story after story, especially when the demons come, what do they do? Krishna! What does Krishna do? Don't worry, I'll take care of Agasura or Aristasura or this asura or that asura. And Krishna does. He protects his devotee. Krishna likes protecting his devotee. And the devotees like being protected by Krishna, who likes protecting his devotee. It's a bondage of love, where it's very clear. Krishna is their dearmost friend, and Krishna is all-powerful. There's some pastimes where it's really puzzling. Like when Krishna's in the coils of the Kaliya serpent. You know that pastime? That's really like a role reversal. Because normally when there's difficulty, they call on Krishna. But here's one where Krishna's in the coils of the Kaliya serpent. Who do they call for? You understand? They just fainted on the side of the river Jamuna. They were going crazy because they can't call on Krishna to help them with when Krishna is the one that's in difficulty. And Krishna let the drama go for some time. Then finally, enough. They're so attached to me that Krishna relieved himself from the difficulty. It's kind of like, may some of you boys one day take sannyas. Someday. I mean, you know, not tomorrow, but someday when you take sannyas. And when you take sannyas, you'll travel and you'll preach. And people ask questions. And they like to ask questions, sometimes not that's necessarily going to help them advance in spiritual life. They just like to ask the stump the Swami questions. So here's a stump the Swami question. You ready? Can Krishna create something that's so heavy he cannot lift it? It's a trick question. Because you say, he cannot lift it, oh, there's something he can't do. And if you say, no, he can't create something, then there's something he can't do. It's a trick question. So Prabhupada was asked that question. You know what his answer was? Yes, he can create something that's so heavy he can't lift it and then lift it. So Krishna created a situation where he was in difficulty and then he relieved himself of difficulty. He's the greatest, not Muhammad Ali. Krishna's the greatest. Krishna's the greatest. So the Pandavas were contemplating a difficulty because they know that Krishna is very kind. When the devotees are in difficulty, Krishna comes. So Krishna had just left. He had gone back to Dwarka because the difficulty of the Pandavas being harassed by Duryodhana and Dushasana and the others. They're gone. Yudhisthira is now the king. So everything is nice again. So Krishna left. They don't want Krishna to leave. They'd rather have difficulties. They were planning a difficulty. So Krishna would come again. And he's coming into the midst of this assembly and he's just appreciating how attached they are to Krishna. Totally attached to Krishna. So he's listening to the conversation and suddenly he just bursts out and says, Pandavas, you are the most dear devotees of Krishna for this reason, that reason, the other reason, the other reason, the other reason. And the Pandavas go, no, no, no. They give their disclaimer, no, we're not for this reason, that reason, the other reason. But if you want to know, because Krishna's not here. You know where Krishna is? He's in Dwarka. He's with the members of the Yadu dynasty. So the residents of Hastinapur are thinking the residents of Dwarka, where the Yadu dynasty members reside, how did the Yadu dynasty members get situated in Dwarka? Do you know the answer to that one? Sure you do. Krishna was being attacked. Mathura was being attacked by Jarasandha on one side and Kaliyavana. They both had huge armies. So Krishna said to Balaram, you hold off the armies, I'm going to take the Yadu dynasty to Dwarka. He did it really fast. Vishwakarma built Dwarka. Krishna made arrangements for everyone's residential quarters, and Krishna came back to deal with Kaliyavana and then Muchakunda in the cave. And so Krishna situated the Yadu dynasty in Dwarka. So after the Kurukshetra battle, Krishna went back to Dwarka to be with the Yadu dynasty. So the members of Hastinapur, these kings that are mentioned in yesterday's verse, are appreciating how fortunate are the members of the Yadu dynasty. Why? Same as in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Because they're always in Krishna's association. We have to make a plan to have a calamity so Krishna will come. But they're always with him. And they're informally like family members. Because, you know, families have their pluses and minuses. But one of the nice things about families is there's very confidential dealings amongst family members. They eat together and talk together and converse together and stand side by side. And so members of Hastinapur are saying great yogis or the most learned of all persons, they're searching. Where is the absolute truth? And he's standing by their side all the time, in person. as a family member with marital relation and, you know, intimate exchanges. They're the most fortunate. And then in the beginning of the verse, there's three things that are mentioned in relation to Krishna. So we know that anything in relation to Krishna is also Krishna, in one sense, right? Just like all the deity paraphernalia. Before it was deity paraphernalia, it was something else. But once it's used directly in Krishna's service, it's called, it's got a special name, Tadiya. It's a manifestation of Balaram's potency. You know that? Just like, you know, when, I'm sure you remember when TOVP came and they, do you have one of those? The crown on the altar? So place that on the head, or Lord Nityananda's shoes. What was Lord Nityananda's shoes before they were Lord Nityananda's shoes? Piece of wood or something like that. But now it's Lord Nityananda's shoes. And it's not imagination. They're spiritually very powerful. The plan of the TOAP is until they have all the funds, they're not even going to go back on the altar. They're just going to, his shoes are going to keep moving around to give the mercy to people to help build the TOVP, to fulfill the desire of Srila Prabhupada, which is the desire of Bhaktisiddhanta, the desire of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the desire of Lord Chaitanya, this Adbhuta Mandir. Anyway, that which is in relation to Krishna is also Krishna. The spiritual potency is invested in that, in those things. So not only paraphernalia, here that what's mentioned is the Vedas. Because where do the Vedas come from? Which one of you learned boys knows? Where do the Vedas come from? Vyasadeva, right? But where did Vyasadeva get them from? Did Vyasadeva go on a creative writing spree and write the Vedas? Where did Vyasadeva get the Vedas from? Huh? From? Narada Muni. Very good. Where did Narada Muni get them? From Lord Brahma. Where did Brahma get them from? Krishna! He's the source of the Vedas. So since Krishna is the source of the Vedas are none different than Krishna. So they're, as Krishna is eternal, the Vedas are co-eternal. That's a good term, isn't it? They don't have a beginning, as Krishna doesn't have a beginning. Krishna is the source of the Vedas, but the Vedas are co-eternal with Krishna. So we say the Vedas come from Krishna or Narayana, either way is nice, but they're eternal. It's not like once upon a time there wasn't Vedas and Krishna looked at his watch and said, gee, I think we should have some Vedas. And poof, there's the Vedas. They're co-eternal with Krishna. And within the Vedas, this term that's in the Sanskrit is Shruti. Shruti means that which is heard. What does the Shruti speak about? It speaks about Vishruti. That's what the verse says. Vishruti means the fame of Krishna. The translation reads, his fame as broadcast by the Vedas, his fame, Vishruti, as broadcast by the Vedas, the Shruti, are as powerful as Krishna is. So then in the purport, this is now for the adults because there are some adults here. All the kids, I was thinking, gee, they must have parents. Anyway. So, the Vedas are made of three sections. Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, and Upasanakanda. The vast majority is Karmakanda. where there are mantras. So the purport reads, all Vedic mantras glorify Lord Vishnu. Now, the Karmakanda section of the Vedas is generally taken up by people who want material benedictions. And so they go to that section of the Vedas. Vast, 90-something percent of the Vedas is that. And they think, this deva will give this benediction, that devi will give that benediction, Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. As far as they're concerned, there's many gods. And the many gods give the many things that we need for happiness. So we observe Vedic practices of chanting, at least the brahmanas chant the mantras, that are propitiating the devas to give us this, that, and the other thing. Right? You with me? Now what's being stated here is, no. Or, behind that understanding is the higher understanding, which is all Vedic mantras are glorifying Lord Vishnu. And then the semicolon right after that, this is confirmed by Ramanujacharya and his Vedanta, or Vedarta Sangraha and Madhva and his Rig Veda Bhashya. So the Rig Veda is one of those four Vedas that has all these mantras for propitiating the devas. But who's behind the devas? Krishna. Actually, they're glorifying Vishnu. And the purport is saying that elaborately, exhaustively, Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya, they're saying these four Vedas, it's about Vishnu. Well, you'll listen to a scholar and they'll say, no, it's about, you know, the demigods, or certainly the brahmanas who are supporting themselves through the mantras. It's about the demigods. But Vaishnava means, these are Vaishnavacharyas, Ramanuja and Madhva. The Karmakanda section is actually addressing Vishnu. And then there's another section called the Gyanakanda section. What's that? It's the Upanishads primarily. And the Upanishads are the philosophical portion that explains the rituals. And they're largely promoting Brahman. So there's the devas, and then there's Brahman. But actually, those Upanishadic texts are disclosing Vishnu. It's indirect, like really indirect. You know, like this makes, to make it really simple, Prabhupada always made things really simple for us. If someone says, touch your nose, you just go like this, but you can also go like this. You have a long arm and do your yoga regularly, you can touch your nose this way. In either case, it's touch your nose, or directly or indirectly. So these others are indirect. Pardon me, I just gave a 35-hour seminar on the Pramanakanda section of Tattva Sandarbha. So I'm up to my eyeballs in all of these details of why it is that the evidence to know Krishna best is Srimad Bhagavatam. And all these other things, like, you know, Krishna says to Uddhava in the 11th canto, in the Uddhava Gita, that the Vedas are indirect. They're difficult to understand because they're indirect. It's just like if somebody's saying something to you, like, you know, I don't know, something. Say, Mukhya wants everybody to go on book distribution, but she doesn't say. She says it directly. Mukhya is very direct. But supposing she says, well, I know that there's lots of other things that you can do in your day, and, you know, around and around and around and around. She does just say, you know, can you please consider take some time out during this book marathon and distribute books? Somehow, this way, the other way. So direct. But if you say something indirect, it's really hard to understand what the person means. Krishna says the Vedas are like that. You know, the Karmakanda, Gyanakanda section. But the Vaishnavacharyas, they take the gold from the you know, the mountain. And they say, see, it's about Vishnu. That's what these two texts, Ramanuja's and Madhva's texts, Vedic mantras are dealing with Vishnu, not with Brahman. Just like, you know, the Gayatri mantra, the first Brahma Gayatri. This is also discussed in Tattvasandarbha. So, you know, again, it's up to my eyeballs. And there's many different people that think so many things of what Gayatri mantra is for. They think it's worship of the sun, or worship of the sun god, or worship of Brahman, or worship of Agni, the fire god, or worship of fire, you know, etc. There's like so many different renderings of what it's about. So that's Gayatri. Jiva Goswami elaborately describes Gayatri is the mother of the Vedas. All other Vedic mantras come from Gayatri mantra. And all these different understandings due to the obscure meaning of Gayatri mantra. So what's Srimad Bhagavatam? It explains Gayatri mantra. It's one of the things that the Puranas say about Bhagavad Purana is it explains Gayatri mantra. And it does so just in the first verse, what to speak of the other 17,999 verses. I've become a Jiva Goswami fan. I really like Jiva Goswami. In Bhakti Sandarbha text 105, he has like, you know, 150 verses that take 111 Bhagavatam and explain word by word by word how it explains Gayatri Mantra. This connects with that, that connects with the other thing. Whew. So when you're done, it's okay, I got it. It's a commentary. And the Gayatri Mantra is about Vishnu, or even specifically, Krishna. So Prabhupada made it really simple, or our Bhaktivedanta purports here makes it real simple. All Vedic mantras are glorifying Vishnu. Haribol. If you want the detail, you can go to these great acharyas and give you the detail, and then you get, okay, I get it. All Vedic mantras. And those Vedic mantras are uttered for purification, and the source of purification is the Supreme Pure. So something or someone that's impure, contact the Supreme Pure, you get purified. It's a good plan. To bring that which is transcendental from an apurusheya source, transcendental source, into this world and expose people to it through qualified brahmanas. Just need a qualified brahmana. Not easy to find. Therefore, Vaishnavas are most important in this age of Kali, and to become Vaishnava, well, we need to awaken the desire to be in service to Vishnu, and that's the Mahamantra. It's a mantra that you don't have to be a brahmana to chant. But it's a mantra, and it's very direct. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, in case you didn't get it the first time. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Try again. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Let's try it again. And so it's very direct, because we're so covered. And it's a special dispensation to get uncovered. And what's that state of uncovered? We want to serve Krishna. That's the meaning. That's the mantra. Please engage me in your service. Even though our mind is somewhere else while we're chanting the Maha Mantra. Even we're thick and covered and inattentive and lazy and all the other disqualifications of the age of Kali. The mantra is very powerful. We need something very powerful, very direct, very easy, and very sublime. All Vedic mantras are actually directly glorifying Vishnu, Krishna. So we have this very direct one. Then the second. What time is class supposed to be over? Now? About right now? Okay, I'll try to wrap it up. I all these kids here, I had to do something for the kids. Okay. Then the water that has washed his feet, these thoroughly purify the universe. So the scent of the Ganga is described in the purport because the source is the river Viraja having washed, so it's not materially contaminated, then having washed the feet of Trivikram and descending to this earthly realm or throughout all the planetary systems, actually, it's meant to sanctify. So therefore, the Ganges is considered the most sacred of all rivers, but more sacred than the most sacred is the river Jamuna, because Krishna, in his original form, along with his associates, he played and bathed and sported in the river Jamuna. So the most sacred is the river Jamuna. More than washed his feet. And the words he speaks in the form of revealed scriptures, of course, all the revealed scriptures, just as the boys here said, they come from Krishna. We can also say they come from Narayana, and it's not a contradiction. They come from the Supreme Lord. And therefore, those words descending into this realm is meant exactly as it says, for purifying. And you're associating with him all the time. His words. The water washed his feet. The mantras of the Vedas. He's the object of all of them, and you're with him all the time. How fortunate, how exalted. These kings are honoring the Yadu or Vishnu dynasty. When the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, went to the shore of the Milk Ocean to appeal to the Supreme Lord, along with Mother Earth in the form of a cow, please descend because Earth is overburdened with demoniac kings, he agreed. He didn't say, I have to think about it. He immediately agreed. And then he gave the demigods an instruction, take birth on Earth first in the family of the Yadu and Vrishni dynasties. So those persons were expansions of the demigods. So the kings are honoring the fortune of these persons who, by Krishna's order, they're assisting him in his pastimes. And what's his pastimes? It's his pleasure. Prabhupada would translate his pleasure pastimes. And what is the, just to end, because of the time, what is it that keeps Krishna with them? It's their affection for him. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur suggests that the word bandha, besides its more obvious meaning of relation, can also be understood in the sense of capture, expressing that the love the Yadus feel for the Lord obliges him always to stay with them. Why are they the most fortunate? Because of their love for him. That's the most fortunate. The love that you have for Krishna makes you fortunate. Then you can say the opposite. The degree to which there isn't love for Krishna, you're unfortunate. You know, the misfortune of the living entities is the forgetfulness of that loving relation. The fortune is rekindling or reawakening that loving relation. The Bhagavatam is inspiring us, just to end, the Bhagavatam is inspiring us to come to the position as the Maha Mantra is inspiring us, but it's directing us, it's directing the heart towards loving relation with Krishna. Not just dutifully doing the do's and avoiding the don'ts, but lovingly. Bhakti Vinod Thakur describes the position of duty and the position of love are different. Duty can bring one to the position of love, but it's not the position of love. It's the position of duty, obligation. mode of goodness is you do things because they're to be done. You don't lie because you're not supposed to lie. You don't steal because you're not supposed to steal. Be honest because you should be honest. Just because it's something you should do. And then love is something else. I mean, it's the shuddha position, where love for Krishna is there, and there's degrees and intensities of that love. That's the Brihat Bhagavatamrita's exploration. The most intense form of love is the residence of Vrindavan amongst all the associates of Krishna. So Bhagavatam is bringing us to that position. It's inspiring us, along with the chanting of the Maha Mantra, to direct the heart towards that. The Swayam Bhagavan Krishna and the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan. That's what you're reading in this 10th canto. Okay, I'll end. See if there's any Alachua-type questions and comments. Alachua has a reputation, by the way. Yes. Just say it flatteringly. Good questions. Lots of lively discussion after the class. Go ahead.
Wonderful class, Maharaj. Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he cites Bhagavatam 2.1.5. Tajmad Bharatas Sarvatma. You know, that if one wants to be free from all miseries...
Hold the microphone.
I'm sorry. If one wants to be free from all miseries, then he must hear and chant Bhagavatam. So, you were citing, you know, how the Pandavas were looking forward to their next calamity.
How about you? Are you waiting?
I'm sorry?
Are you looking forward?
Well, it seemed like they'd come anyway, you know, so here we go again. So it does seem that, you know, at least on the, you know, and then also the second verse in the Bhagavatam, tapatrayan mulanam, you know, that this truth frees one from all material miseries. It seems that there's some impetus that's given, you know, for those on the Vaidhi Sarana platform to, you know, if you do this, you know, like Kleshagni, you know, from the first characteristic.
What's the punchline of the question?
Well, I'm just wondering, you know, what the Pandavas, is there a kind of a borderline that one passes?
No.
You know, like...
Borderline. They're eternal associates of Krishna. What they go through is not what Janmashtami Das goes through. Or Rompad Swami goes through. It's varieties of ecstasy only. It looks bad. For them, it's ecstasy. Totally different. That's my answer.
So I guess when one is on the Bhava platform, then that whole thing kind of kicks in.
It more than kicks in. It rules. It prevails.
Yeah.
They weren't whining and complaining. They wanted Krishna's association. They had one desire. They didn't mind this and that and the other thing. You know, the complexities and tribulations, and they wanted one thing. And Krishna very kindly reciprocated with that one thing. It's a little bit like the difficulty that Sanatana Goswami was put in with the wet itches, and when Lord Chaitanya cured it, Haridas was in ecstasy. He said, "How dear are you? There's no one more dear to Lord Chaitanya than you. He put you into this difficulty by his own arrangement so that you'd have no other shelter but him." And then he took the problem away. So it's an orchestration of intensification, just like, you know, in Vrindavan, here comes a demon. It's vibrama vilas. It's apparently a danger, apparently a difficulty. For what purpose? To increase and intensify the shelter taking. This, you know, it's a higher ecstasy. It's like, you know, the agony of separation is for intensification of attachment and affection and love. It looks bad. It's not. You take your material yardsticks and it's terrible. Like, you know, like Narada said in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narada starts to talk about Krishna being taken from Vrindavan by Akura, and he said it's too terrible. People don't like, it's not good to talk about this because it's so terrible. People be scared away from becoming devotee of Krishna in Vrindavan. But he just keeps talking about it and talking about it and talking about it because it's actually ecstatic. It's very ecstatic, although it looks terrible. Worldly people look at these things and go, oh my God, who wants to be dear to Krishna because you have to go through tribulation, more so than mine. But it's not. It's altogether different. The internal potency, aside from bhava and, you know, sadhana, it's the internal potency. And those that have faith and connection with Krishna, they feel that connection with Krishna stronger. That's their happiness. Whether it's this or that, Krishna's embrace or Krishna's trampling them, apparently. Just saying. Okay, we got some questions in the back. I'll ask you a question number two.
So it's stated that the revealed scriptures are coming from the Lord. We have right presently, we have some very dominant scriptures.
For example,
we have some dominant scriptures.
Okay.
Like the Bible, like the Quran and so on. Uh-huh. Would you consider them revealed scriptures?
Well, it's not, my opinion means nothing. But here's what Krishna says. Jiva Goswami points out in his Sarva Sambhadani commentary of Tattva Sandarbha, he makes the statement that from the Vedas, over all time and all circumstances, all truths come from the Vedas. And then he, in the Sambhadani commentary, says, quotes Krishna saying to Uddhava, at the beginning of each day of Lord Brahma, I personally manifest the Vedas to Lord Brahma, and he gives them to this one, that one, you know, the disciplic succession. And then in course of time, throughout all lands and all time, knowledge is derived from the Vedas that comes from Krishna. So the answer to your question is, yeah, but. And the but part is, as Lord Chaitanya said to Chankazi, you know, scholars got in there and they started tinkering. And they, you know, didn't get it right when they wrote it down. And then goes the tinkering that comes after they wrote it down. You know, editing of the Bible. And then, you know, then like the Quran, and then you have people that, it's not in, anyway. Lots of things that some people today think is in the Quran isn't in the Quran, etc. But the, you know, the original text is derived, according to Krishna, to Uddhava, it's derived from the Vedas. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I'm probably going to display my ignorance, but when we chant the Gayatri Mantra, in the Guru, Gaura, and Krishna mantras, you can obviously meditate on Guru, Gaura, and Krishna.
Yeah.
What do you meditate on when you chant the first mantra?
Well, that's a good question. Here's an answer from Srimad Bhagavatam in relation to Bharat Maharaj. He meditated similarly on not the sun, but Surya Narayan, And Prabhupada's very, you know, in the, it's Prabhupada's commentary. Very clearly, it's the Lord of the sun god, Surya Narayan. Other renderings speak of the Paramatma, of, you know, the personality of the sun. So it's meditate in some Vaishnava text, it's meditation on Vishnu. Some is meditation on Surya Narayan. Both renderings I've come across. For sure, though, it's not, you know, the sun god, Jiva Tattva sun god. Nor is it, you know, the rays of the sun, nor is it, you know, the impersonal Brahman. So, but, you know, it's Surya Narayan. We have one more electrical question, and then we're going to end. Oh, two more, excuse me. No, he's had his hand up very early on here. And usually he doesn't ask a question, he gives a purport to the class. Go ahead.
Maharaj, I have two questions, but I'm just thinking which one to ask. One question is that you mentioned very nicely that affection, Jadavas, towards Krishna compared to Pandavas, what determined that Krishna stayed in with the Jadavas more.
Yeah.
So one angle we can look at, Krishna never left Vrindavan, but Brajavasi's affection towards Krishna superior to the Jadavas, yet Krishna left.
Apparently.
Okay.
Apparently.
But still, I want to hear what is your view if somebody
Well, you know the answer. You could probably give me 10 slokas to have the answer. But, you know, different Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas have explained slightly differently, but prominent is Krishna entered into the hearts of the residents of Vrindavan. And there, because of their Svarasaki capacity, they enjoyed pastimes with Krishna within. So apparently he left, but he didn't. He's with them. And there's other descriptions, but that's the common one.
One more question that you also read today is in the purport that Jamuna Devi's position is higher because Krishna bathed.
I just read the purport.
I know, but my question is, the Ganga's position is lower. Prabhupada also put that if you sanctify Ganges 100 times, then it's equal to Jamuna.
Yeah.
So my question is, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathed, he was swimming, diving, everything in Ganges.
Yeah.
Same Supreme Absolute Truth.
Yeah, well, it changed after Lord Chaitanya appeared.
Okay.
How's that for a trick answer? I thought you'd come up with that. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Maharaj, you said that it's just the mode of goodness when one is performing out of duty and obligation, so we must come to Sudasattva if there's any question of love.
Yes.
Krishna says that he who says he's my devotee is not my devotee, but who says he's the devotee of my devotee is my devotee.
Right.
So, I can't imagine, I don't know when the day would come when I would ever feel really love for Krishna. But somehow, I feel an obligation and duty toward the Vaishnavas.
Fantastic.
Those who are in authority or my husband or, you know, those who are representing Krishna, but yet I feel dutiful to reciprocate, respond.
That's not bad.
Is there hope
that good?
I mean, does that get converted automatically, or what do I have to do to bring it to a love for Krishna?
Keep doing it. That's one of the things that you have to do. By sadhana. It's a long description. It's going to be a technical description, but I'll try to make it not technical. Behind the duty, there's bhakti. I mean, duty unto whom? And as if there's a person who is representing Krishna, that it's Krishna. The Krishna connection is by being dutiful to those who are connected to Krishna. So it's the Krishna connection. So what to do is to contemplate the purpose behind the duty. Besides, it's to be done, is to be dutiful. The purpose behind the duty is it brings you closer to Krishna. It's the Krishna factor, the devotion unto Krishna factor, that's bhakti. That takes you beyond the duty, dutifulness. So it's a meditation, just like Gayatri, dhimahi. It's a meditation upon whom? The duty is unto whom? Meditate on to whom? Along with the frame of life that I'm acting dutifully. That's goodness. Dutiful unto whom? So, and then by hearing about Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam, it waters the bhakti seed or the bhakti creeper. And then, if, you know, the unto whom becomes more prominent, more prominent, more prominent, more prominent. So that's the shortest, you know, could just continue. But and by associating with those that have that Krishna affinity or Krishna bhakti, by associating with those persons who have Krishna bhakti, hearing Krishna katha in that company and discussing Krishna katha in that company, together we come, you know, beyond the goodness into the attachment to Krishna phase or of maturity. We've been given everything. We don't need something that we don't have. It's not like we have to go looking for something other than what Prabhupada gave us. It's all there. And here's another really nice one. I mean, really nice one. It's right in, you know, fits right in with the Christmas marathon. By the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya, one can enter into that affinity for Krishna place. By the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And how do we get the special mercy of Lord Chaitanya? By the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And how do we get the mercy of Lord Nityananda? By going on book distribution in the Christmas marathon. I can just hear Mukhya going, yay! But it's true. We connect with the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and specifically not just sit and have a kirtan in a room somewhere, but the congregate giving this mercy to others. That's what Mahaprabhu did, as he asked Lord Nityananda to do, and we assist Lord Nityananda in that process, we get some Nityananda's mercy, etc. Okay. One more question. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.